नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो। मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम सिक्स्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 17 टेक्स्ट नंबर 24। अत प्रसादेन त्वा शापमोक्षाय भामिने यन्मन्येसे हि साधूक्तम् मम तत् क्षम्यतां सति। अथ वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग। अथ दो व्हाट आई हैव सेड इज नॉट रॉन्ग, प्लीज लेट व्हाट एवर यू थिंक रॉन्ग बी पार्डन। परपट बीइंग फुल्ली अवेयर ऑफ हाउ द रिजल्ट्स ऑफ वन्स कर्मा एक्रू बाय द लॉज ऑफ नेचर, चित्रकेतु डिड नॉट वॉन्ट टू बी रिलीज फ्रॉम पार्वतीज कर्स। Nonetheless, he wanted to satisfy her because although his verdict was natural, she was displeased with him. As a matter of course, Maharaj Chitraketu begged pardon from Parvati. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana. So in this very beautiful verse which we are reading today, morning, here Maharaj Chitraketu is addressing Parvati as O Mother and asking not to be unnecessarily angry. And whatever she is thinking he has said to be wrong, let him be pardoned. And again in purport, Prabhupada is saying here, as a matter of course, Maharaj Chitraketu begged pardon from Parvati. So today's topic will be, what is forgiveness? And whether forgiveness is enough itself? Is forgiveness is all in all? We'll try to discuss. Because this is very important aspect of spiritual life. We are completely dependent on the mercy of Vaishnavas. Without Vaishnavas' mercy, will not progress in spiritual life. And part of that mercy is forgiveness. So we'll try to discuss on this very, very important aspect of forgiveness. So in this shloka there is a word kshamyatam, and literally forgiveness means kshama. So sometimes we cut jokes or pass some comments, remarks, or sarcastically say something. But that person may not take so seriously, but the near and dear one to the person who is hearing or who has heard about this comment or remark may take very seriously. Just like Shiva didn't take the remarks or offenses of Daksha very seriously, because he is Vaishnava. He is Amanina Manadena, always giving respect to others. As a Vaishnava, he is a Param Vaishnava, Vaishnava Nyatha Shambho. That's why he didn't take it seriously. Even though the whole Daksha's sacrificial arena was disturbed. But he was not disturbed because he is Dhir Purusha. But his associate, Nandi Bail, he was very disturbed. And that's why it said, Daksha unnecessarily invited trouble. That's why its saying goes, A bail mujhe mar. Not here it is A bail mujhe mar. Here A nandi bail mujhe mar. So when we offend or remark unnecessarily or pass some comments, the future is very dangerous, or it may cost a lot at a later stage. Just like we are going to see, for a small joking words which couldn't be understood, practically misunderstood by Sati or Parvati, and the whole episode took place. So ultimately, Krishna was the cause, sarva karana karanam. But what was the immediate cause? Laptop. So there are so many incidences which took place because of laptop. And history is full of all these incidences. Dhruva Maharaj went to forest because of laptop. He wanted to sit on laptop of his father. Then here we also see Maharaj Chitrakuti was cursed because of laptop. Parvati was sitting on laptop of Shivji. In Mahabharata also, this great war took place because of one of the reason. Because Duryodhana showed his lap to Draupadi. Then again, the whole Damodar Leela took place because baby Krishna was put down on the from the lap of Mother Yashoda. And the Hiranyakashipu open heart surgery was done on the laptop of Narsingdev. So literally, the meaning of laptop is Urvashi, who is also cause of so many problems, so many saints. Even Arjuna has to become Nunak because of her. Even Pururava, who was bewildered by the laptop, which is Urvashi, even Vishnu appeared in his sacrifice, but he couldn't ask for perfection of life. He was asking for Urvashi laptop. So this is very dangerous. And it is not a bygone history of laptop. Nowadays also, people are suffering because of laptop, because of internet, phonography, websites. They are entering in the waves of Maya, internet of Maya. And that's why the golden yuga author has come to awaken from the lap of Maya. Jeev jago, Gaur Chandra bole, kota nidra jao, Maya pisha chirit khole. He has come to awaken us from the laptop of Maya and take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra very seriously. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So, we'll try to see what is forgiveness. Before understanding or begging for forgiveness, we should understand what is forgiveness. Here it is said, we should beg for a forgiveness because we are beggars. Not only beggars, we are beggars. Beggar and beggar, both we are. That's why we are completely depend on mercy, forgiveness of Vaishnavas. So, forgiveness is an important devotional quality. It is called as ornament of a devotee, alankar. Unless and until you have this alankar, you will be always in ahankar. So we have to wear this alankar of forgiveness. Then we can get the mercy of Vaishnavas and ultimately Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in the 9th canto, 15th chapter, 40th shloka, the beauty of forgiveness is very nicely described. It is said, duty of a brahmana is to culture quality of forgiveness. Unless and until he cultures or cultivates quality of forgiveness, he is not called as brahmana. Not to speak of a Vaishnava, who is above brahmana. So, naturally it is expected from a devotee or Vaishnava to have forgiveness. And forgiveness begins with forgiving ourselves for so many deeds, notorious deeds, acts we have done before coming to Krishna consciousness or after coming to Krishna consciousness. Because that forgiveness is very important. Unless and until we forgive ourselves, our consciousness will be eaten moment by moment. And it will choke our devotional progress. So first, charity begins at home. We should forgive ourselves and forgive others. Then forgiveness from Supreme Personality of Godhead will be flowing through the devotees. So it is very essential we start forgiving ourselves for whatever is obstructing in our devotional service because of our past deeds, which are against Krishna consciousness principles. So it is said that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is pleased with those who are forgiving. If you really want to please Lord Hari, the only one thing you have to do is you have to forgive. Forgive those who have offended you. Even though they may be wrong, because Krishna consciousness is beyond right and wrong, bad and good. Therefore, naturally it is expected that we forgive others. Unless and until we forgive, we will not be forgiven. So, here it is said in this sloka that cuckoo bird, although very black and ugly, becomes beautiful because of its sweet voice. He is describing how great forgiveness is. He is saying bird cuckoo is very black or ugly, but he becomes beautiful because of his sweet voice. Woman becomes beautiful by the chastity and faithfulness to her husband. What is beauty of a woman? Chastity and faithfulness. An ugly man becomes beautiful when he becomes learned. Everyone starts worshipping. Similarly, a brahmana becomes beautiful when they are forgiving. So, it is very, very essential as a Vaishnava always be forgiving. So how many times we have offended so many devotees, and especially Nam Prabhu, holy name. Every day, 24 hours, we are offending. But still, we forget to ask for forgiveness, beg for forgiveness. And that's why our spiritual growth or spiritual development is not taking place. So every time when we sit for japa, we should ask first for yesterday's forgiveness. What? Yesterday's backlog. And start our japa. So, it is said that even in deity worship, there are so many mantras asking for forgiveness, begging for forgiveness. There is a very particular shloka which says, Aparadha shahastrani kriyante ahar nishammaya daso aham iti mattad shamaswa madhusudana. Here it is said that this is Aparadha Shodhan Mantra. And it is very important. Whatever deity worship activities, services we have done, after finishing those activities, we have to chant these mantras. And it says, meaning goes that, thousands of offenses are performed by me day and night, aharnisham, day and night, thinking of me as your servant. Kindly forgive those offenses, O Madhusudana. So even each and every field, activity requires in devotional life forgiveness. Whatever activities we are doing. Especially deity worship, chanting, dealings with Vaishnavas. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you want to go back home, back to Godhead, you have to do mainly two things: attentive chanting and hearing, and attentive dealings with Vaishnavas. And for that, we have to be very attentive. If we are not attentive, then calamities will take place. If we take casually, then casualty happens. Nazar hati, durghatna ghati. So we have to be very careful, especially chanting and hearing, attentive chanting and hearing, and attentive dealings with Vaishnavas. A jiva can fly on these two wings, back home, back to Godhead, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. That's why it is very, very essential we should not offend holy name and devotees. And even if we offend, we have to serve in such a way that offended devotee, that he forgives. Or constant chanting or crying out of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Raghunath Das Goswami says, instant crying for the holy name to give that offended soul to forgive us is the only way for receiving mercy of that devotee whom we have offended. So, (clears throat) It is our tendency to blame others for our misfortune or destiny. Whatever happens in our life, immediately we point out to other people. Just like whatever happens in India, immediately they point out to Pakistan. Like that, this is a tendency, nature of a conditioned soul, to blame the instrument of their karma. But here, the glory of Chitraketu is revealed. Even though he has not committed such a great offense, jokingly remarked Shiva's greatness in a negative way, but Mother Parvati is taking very seriously. And still he is asking for forgiveness, not blaming the instrument of his karma, destiny, that is Mother Parvati. So Prabhupada used to say, do not blame the instrument of your karma. If you follow this golden principle, then we will be happy and let others happy in spiritual life. So, in first canto, bull, the dharma, is personified example of quality of forgiveness. Kali is beating him. He has broken his three legs and Maharaj Parikshit appears on the scene. And he asks, who has done this to you? Sirf naam batao, mai dekh lunga. He is saying, just name the person, I will take care of him. But still, what Bull is saying in reply is amazing and mind-boggling. We can ponder, if we ponder on this statement of a bull, who is dharma personified, we can very nicely progress in our spiritual life and will not be disturbed, agitated, or retaliate whenever circumstances arise. He is saying, if I point out cause of my misfortune, then I am just as guilty as the cause. This is very important. So many people don't know, they are equally responsible for the guilt, whatever has taken place. If we point out the misfortune of our, cause of our misfortune. And then, he says, because nothing happens without the Lord's sanction. Everything is ordained by Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is second principle. That Krishna is Sarva Karana Karam. He is the supreme controller. Even though we are the controllers, small, tiny controllers, but who is the ultimate controller? Krishna. And what is the use of blaming the instrument or agent of destiny or misfortune? So this is very instructive. Dharma, as a bull, is saying this. So, for those who cultivate, Krishna says, forgiveness manifests automatically. This is a natural quality. Whenever we perform devotional service for the satisfaction of devotees and Lord, automatically this quality manifests in the heart of a devotee. But it is very difficult for non-devotees to forgive others because without Krishna conscious vision, they are always in material dualities, always in dwand. Good and bad, right and wrong, etc., etc. And according to his mind, he is trying to understand the situation. That's why such a religion is called Manodharma. Manorathena dhavata bahi. Always riding on the chariot of mind. That's why he is not able to understand who is the ultimate cause. Whose hand is behind in this particular case. So this religion of mind we should give up. And that's why Krishna ultimately gives the instruction. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam raja aham tam sarva papyabhyo mokshayasi maa sucha. Don't worry. I will protect you. And this is very, very essential. So we have to transcend the conception of good and bad, right and wrong. Because Krishna consciousness is beyond right and wrong, good and bad. And only way to transcend material duality is to become very, very serious in Krishna consciousness by taking seriously, chanting and hearing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. This is the first step. Second step is, see Krishna present everywhere and in every act. hand of a Lord in every act. And here, neither the bull, neither Parikshit Maharaj, he was also cursed by Brahmana boy, Shringi, because of a small mistake, so-called mistake. But they didn't retaliate. Even Chitraketu is not retaliating, counter-cursing, using their powers for personal use. This is the beauty of Vaishnavas. Advanced Vaishnavas. They don't use their whatever powers accrued by devotional service for their personal use. Devotees like this only use their powers to in the service of Krishna and Krishna's devotee. But here we see neither Bull, Parikshit Maharaj or Chitraketu are not blaming instrument of their destiny, karma or misfortune, but seeing the particular curse incident as ordained, sanctioned by Lord Krishna. Because devotees are tiraskrita, vipralabdha, shapta, kshipta, hata api, nasya tat pratikurvanti tad bhakta prabhopi. The beauty of devotees explained how he is tolerant, how he is not retaliating. Even though he is tiraskrita, defamed, insulted, he never take revenge. Vipralabdha, cheated, because this word is word of cheaters and cheated, full of this person. So he may be cheated many times, but he never retaliates. Shapta, he may be cursed, but he never counter-curse, even though he has power to do so. Kshipta, neglected. This is the worst type of activity. Neglected. Hata, attempted to be killed. So these five incidents may be there, but still, he don't retaliate or want to take revenge, even though they have power to do so. Because devotee of the Lord do not want to come to the low level of counter-cursing, revenging or retaliating. Because they have such a great high character as a Vaishnava, devotees of Vishnu. They are like flying king of bird Garuda in the sky, and you don't expect Garuda to come down to the level of flies. So you can't compare ordinary fly and Garuda. So for this reason, they don't usually counter curse or retaliate. Just because both are flying, that doesn't mean that they are on the same level. This fly is also flying and Garuda is also flying, but they are not on the same level. And Garuda never ever comes on the low level, to the level of fly. Similarly, great devotees are like Garuda. When they are cursed, insulted, cheated, neglected or attempted to be killed, they never ever try to counteract. And second reason is, quality of devotees, nirmatsaranam satam, free from envy. And it is because of this envy, there is a feeling of hatred. Envy creates hatred in the heart of the living entity. When envy takes place, it brings along with it hatred. And that's why people in conditioned state want to take revenge, retaliate, counter-curse. And therefore, one is inclined to retaliate, want to take revenge, counter-curse. Therefore, it is said in this sloka, nasya tat pratikurvanti. Great devotees don't retaliate, counter-curse, do not want to take revenge. But what they do? They tad bhakta prabhopi. And this is very, very important. This part is very important. Why? Even though they have a power to do so, they don't take revenge. Just like a joke comes. In a packed local train, one very fat fellow was standing on the door, and local stands, stops at a particular station, and a thin fellow tries to go inside through the crowd, and he pushes the fat fellow, and immediately this fat fellow slaps him, and this thin fellow asks him, the fat man, "Did you slap me in anger or joke?" Then the fat man says, I slap you out of anger. What you will do? Then the thin man says, that's okay. No problem. I don't like jokes, you know. This fellow, thin fellow, don't have any power, but still he is asking. He want to retaliate. Counter curse. Similarly, devotees, though they are having power, so much pious credit at their side, but they don't retaliate. So we have to understand that this forgiveness is important. Even though we have power, we should not retaliate. Similarly, one very nice story comes in Mahabharata, in Ramayana. This is told by Sita Devi to Hanumanji, how we should not retaliate. Once a man was chased by a tiger and he was trying his best to save his life. Ultimately climbs a tree and he was very relieved. But unfortunately to his bear was sitting next to him and he was sleeping, snoring. So he didn't disturb the snoring bear. But the tiger was saying from the down, you are safe now. Why don't you push this bear down? I'll take care of this bear. So this ungrateful man pushes the bear down. Before that, the bear wakes up. Before this conversation goes on, bear wakes up. And this man starts troubling in fear. Then he says, I have taken your shelter. Maam ekam sharanam. Please give me shelter. Please don't push me. And then bear says, no problem. You have taken my shelter. I will not push you. And become prey to the tiger. Then he goes to sleep. Then this tiger says, now he is sleeping. Now you push him. I will take care of him. Then the ungrateful man, who was given shelter by the bear, he pushes the bear. And while falling, the bear is very expert in jumping from one. And he catches hold of a twig and again comes to his original position. Then this man was very, very fearful now, sweating like anything. Now he thinks that my life is finished. Now this bear is going to push me down and tiger is going to eat me. But still this bear says, don't worry. Once I have given you shelter, I will not do anything. I will not push you down. So he has got the power to retaliate, to take revenge. But still this bear doesn't take revenge against this ungrateful man. Similarly, we should always remember this example which was told by Sitamai to Hanumanji. Similarly, in Daksha sacrifice, which becomes Dhavanal fire, when cursing and counter-cursing was going on, whole assembly which was assembled there for performing sacrifice ultimately become place where everyone's good sense was sacrificed. Ultimately, everyone become bewildered. This sacrificial area may become the butcher house and crematorium. But still, Shiva didn't retaliate at all. In one sense, who is Lord Shiva? He is the ultimate destroyer of cosmic creation. Not destroyer of a whole creation. He is only used at the time of devastation. Devastation means last station. When last station is there of this material creation, devastation, last station, at that time he is called for devastation. And all he has to do is to open his third eye and devastate whole creation. When he dances, so many things happens. And when we dance, nothing happens. At the most, we can break our legs, fracture our legs, ourselves or others. But when Shiva dances, it is final show. Final dance, and there is no chance for anyone to remain. So, even though he was having such a power, he didn't counter curse Daksha. So, the question comes, is begging forgiveness is enough? Is it all in all? Here we see in the Daksha episode, even though Shiva forgave Daksha, how is it that Daksha still had to suffer multiple reactions in his next life? Even though he was forgiven, But still, he has to suffer so many reactions. Mainly four reactions are given in 4th canto, 30th chapter, 40th verse. What are these multiple reactions? Daksha, being the son of Brahma, he was Brahmana, but still he has to take. But because of his Abrahmana behavior, or disrespecting or insulting Shiva, he has to take birth as a Kshatriya. He has to take birth within the semen of Kshatriya, a lower birth than a Brahmana. This was the first reaction. Second reaction is that he had to undergo tribulation of taking birth in the womb of a woman. This was the greatest tribulation, reaction. Third reaction is, in Dakshadnya Irina, he was butchered like anything, killed once by Shiva's servant Virbhadra. Virbhadra has performed this Abhadra. But still, because it was not sufficient, he was supposed to take again birth, again, in the womb of Marisha, wife of Prachadas. And fourth thing, Jiva Goswami says, this time he took birth specially to commit offense against Narada. So backlog was there. Carry forward. So this was the additional fruit. What was the additional fruit? Committing offense against Narada was the additional fruit. Extra bonus. For the last time, offense is deposited with Shiva. So these are four reactions he has to undergo. And secondly, second question arises, why didn't Lord Shiva forgive? Why didn't Lord Shiva's forgiveness nullify or forestall all the reactions of these offenses? Why he was not completely cleared off his account? An answer is given, a great soul may forgive offenses, but Krishna don't forgive offenses to the dust of the great souls. Haristane aparade tare harinam. Tumastane aparade nahi paritaran. Therefore, it is very, very essential. One time, the Vaishnava may forgive, but Krishna may not forgive. So, in order to be free from offenses unto the great souls, one should please the same personality who originally offended, was originally offended. Like example is given, when we fall on the earth, we have to take shelter of the earth itself to get up. Similarly, when we offend a great devotee, we have to serve in such a way that we get their anugraha. We'll try to discuss what is anugraha and what is kshama. There is a very significant difference between kshama and anugraha. And in Nama Kamudi, it is said that offenses to great devotees may be relieved in two ways. Either by experiencing the calamities they bring. We have to go through the calamities. We have to go to the reactions. First thing, it may happen. And second thing, we may be relieved from these offenses by attaining the favor, anugraha, of that offended devotee. So, we'll try to discuss for 5 minutes why Daksha only, even though forgiven, still he got reactions. So, what is this difference between kshama and anugraha? Forgiveness and favor. So according to Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 7th chapter, 16th verse, Daksha only achieved forgiveness, kshama of Shiva, not his favor, anugraha. As a formality, Daksha was forgiven by Shiva, not as a from his heart. So because why he was not given favor, only given forgiveness? Because he retained the concept of being father-in-law. He was still thinking, I am father-in-law. Mai kon hu? Sasur. Because there are three types of people in this world. Asur, Sasur and Sur. Sur, Asur and Sasur. And he was thinking himself as a Sasur. Even though he offended Shiva, he was still thinking himself as a Sasur. And he could not see Shiva in the superior position as an advanced devotee, Vaishnava and Yathashambho, and achieve his favor. Never ever he accepted as a greatest of Vaishnavas, great Vaishnava. He was accepting him as a only Sasur. And achieve his favor by bowing down and touching his feet. It was very insulting for him, bowing down before his damad. Huh? What do you call him? English. Son-in-law. Because he was not knowing this law. So he was not ready to bow down. He was feeling insulted. And he was thinking, he is my son-in-law. He is my damad. Isliye wo unmad ho gaya tha. So he couldn't get his favor. So example is given to explain this kshama and anugraha. To illustrate this important distinction between kshama and anugraha, suppose you lend some money to someone else. You gave some money to someone else. And then later they come to you and apologize and say they are unable to repay you. And they are begging and saying we are not able to repay you. So you may say, okay, you are relieved of the debts. But are you satisfied by such behavior? No. Satisfaction can only come through being repaid the debt originally promised. This is very important. What originally you have promised to repay the debt, then that person will be very satisfied. Similarly, we say, itna jab karke had kar de, yamaraj bhi apna khata rad kar de. So, Yamaraj may relieve our debts, all the sins, but that is not the real purpose of chanting. Real purpose of chanting is to give satisfaction, pleasure to Shishi Radha Gopinath. By chanting loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Similarly, begging for or acquiring forgiveness for an offense is not the same as achieving blessings or favor, anugraha of offended devotee. There is a lot of difference between kshama and anugraha. We should hanker for getting favor, anugraha. If one actually achieves the favor of Vaishnava, offended Vaishnava, then and then only we are protected from the Krishna's displeasure. And this is very classical exemplified in the episode of Ambarish and Dhruvas. Even though he went to Vishnu's abode by his power, mystic, even though he went in the Vaikuntha, he was still Kuntha. In anxiety. And then he was saying, why you are become so hard-hearted? Why you are not forgiving? Then Vishnu says, what can I say? I have become hard-hearted because I don't have heart. My heart is with my devotees. What can I do? You have to go to my devotee and ask for forgiveness or favor. Then and then only Dhruvas Muni comes to Ambarish Maharaj, catch hold of his lotus feet and ask for his favor, not forgiveness. And here it is said, this is the difference between Daksha and Dhruvas Muni. Daksha officially asked for forgiveness. But here Dhruvas Muni realized that what is the power of Ambarish Maharaj. Even Vishnu is not ready to forgive. So devotee is more powerful than Vishnu. So I have to achieve the favor of Ambarish Maharaj. Then and then only Sudarshan Chakra will not run behind me. And he bowed down, touched his lotus feet, and then Ambarish Maharaj embraced him and forgave him. So thus Dhruvas Muni was relieved. Again, there is a very nice example in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because of offensive mentality against the exalted position of Pundrik Vidyanidhi, even Gadadhar Pandit felt it necessary to take Diksha from Pundrik Vidyanidhi. Because to become free from what he considered to be offense, he did this. Even he took Diksha and tried to serve Pundrik Vidyanidhi. Even though Gadadhar Pandit was so exalted. This is the difference between kshama and anugraha. Therefore, we have to understand that only asking for forgiveness is nothing, not all in all. We have to serve that devotee directly or indirectly and somehow or other get his favor through him or through through other devotees. Then we'll be protected from the wrath of Krishna's displeasure. Unless and until we get the favor of offended devotee, we'll be always prone to get attacks of this displeasure of Krishna's. So it is very, very essential. And here, Maharaj Chitrakatu is similarly in this shloka asking for forgiveness in order to become free from what Parvati considered to be an offense. Even though it was not offense, he is asking for forgiveness. And this is the greatness of Maharaj Chitrakatu. So, translation says, please let whatever you think wrong be pardoned. So, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Please forgive my offenses and give your favor, favor me, because I am a very hard-headed person, very difficult to forgive others and forgive myself. For the last so many years, I'm trying myself to come out of this syndrome. But by your favor, not forgiveness, by your favor, one day I will try to come out of this precarious condition. So please do anugraha on me and forgive my offenses, knowingly, unknowingly, whatever I have committed at the lotus feet of assembled devotees, those who are present, those who are not present, and forgive my offenses and do your anugraha. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktavrinda ki, Tai Gaur Premanande.